Well, good morning. Open your Bible, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. I'm glad to see you this morning and glad to be back with you and glad to see my family this morning. We've been scattered all across the state and all across the world for this weekend. We have one who's gone for 3 months doing an internship overseas, and so it's been kind of lonely around the house. I hadn't had a wreck. I didn't have a wreck. There was a wreck on the way here, and so I was late getting here this morning. I hadn't even had a chance to talk to them, but I see them. So that's a good thing. And I'm glad you're here this morning. You know, when I was here last January, we talked about New Year's resolutions and a new year and all that. And I want to do that again this morning, but I want to do it in a little different way. I don't know if it's because I'm now almost 50 or what it is, but something about the change of the new year, it just gets to me. Now, if you turn on the TV, if you turn on the radio, everybody wants you to join their club, this plan, eat this, drink this, do this, and you can have a new you in the new year. You know, I think it's important. Anybody make New Year's resolutions? Y'all make New Year's resolutions? Yes? No? Smart people, yeah. New Year's resolutions just don't seem to work. I read something shared a short time ago with another church family. New Year's resolutions, I'm told that 85% of people break their New Year's resolution by February 1st. And 65% of people break their New Year's resolution by January 3rd. So think about that for a minute. But I think the new year is a great time for us, maybe not to make a resolution, but to make a commitment and to kind of evaluate where we are in life and to go and just say, God, this is where I am and this is where I want to be and need to be. And today we want to talk about putting off the old and putting on the new. There's a lot of talk about that these days, only 15 days into the new year. And this week we'll inaugurate a new president. And there's a lot of talk about doing away with old policies and bringing in new policies and different ways of doing that. And several times the Bible even speaks of putting off the old and putting on the new. You know, 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. And certainly we understand the old and the new at the point of salvation. But is there more to it than that? And I believe there is. That's what I want us to look at today. Let's read the first 14 verses together of Colossians 3. And then I want us to come back and really focus in on verses 9 through 14. Colossians 3, 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. But put on, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. I don't know about you, but do you, as we think about commitments to God, as we think about a new year, do you want things to be different for you? I don't mean physically, because I think all of us would probably say yes. I mean spiritually. in your walk with God. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to assume that all of us in the room struggle with sin at some point. It may not be the same for you as it is for me, but I've just been thinking over these last few weeks and months, is it really possible to win over sin? Is it really possible for you and I to overcome sin? I mean, I've been a Christian for over 30 years now, and I still struggle with the sin issues in my life, don't you? In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, look at what Paul says under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit there in verse 5. He says, put to death what is earthly in you. Put sin to death. We're not told to tame sin. We're not told to get a handle on our sin. We're commanded to kill it. And if God commands us to kill the sin in our lives, then it must also be possible, because God's not going to tell us to do something that we can't do, or with His help we can't do. Another problem that I face, and maybe you face as well, is most of the time in my life, when there's a sin issue of some kind, I try to do it in my own strength. Y'all are looking at me really spiritual. Y'all don't struggle like that, huh? I mean, I have times when I know what's the right thing to do. I know what God wants from me, but yet somehow I think I'm going to get there by myself. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to buckle down. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to get it done on my own. If it's God who takes us from life into salvation, and it is, then isn't it also God who delivers us from the sins that plague our life? Why is it that we, as red-blooded Americans who pulled ourselves up by our bootstraps and made something of ourselves, all of a sudden we come to know Christ and that's taken care of, and now, man, I got this? You know, I don't know about you. I know me. Here's what I'm finding as I get older. I don't have all the answers. I don't even know the questions most of the time. And I need God's help. But I want to show this to you. I want to show you a picture of this and why sin is such a struggle in our lives in the New Testament. Hold your finger here in Colossians chapter 3. And this thing worked a while ago, Colby, so you may have to help me. And turn to John chapter 11. I want you to look at John chapter 11 with me for just a second. As I was studying this some time ago, I read some things that others had written, and it began to make sense to me, and I hope it'll make sense to you as well. In John chapter 11, there's the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. You see it there. It says this. It says that Mary and Martha had sent word to Jesus that their brother Lazarus was sick. And Jesus waited a few days. And in the few days he waited before he went to Bethany, Lazarus died. You remember the story. So Jesus comes and Martha runs out to him. And Martha says, listen, Jesus, if only you had come before he died, he'd be okay. And in a little while, Mary comes, and Mary says the same thing. She runs up and said, Jesus, if only you'd been here, this wouldn't have happened. And so Jesus goes, and they take him to the tomb where Lazarus is, really a cave with a rock in front of it. And he commands them to roll the rock away. You remember the story, right? You remember what they said? Jesus, let's not do that. I mean, it's been 4 days. He stinks. I always loved the way the King James translates that. He stinketh. Hey, he's dead. It's beyond hope now. But Jesus has him roll the stone away. He calls Lazarus by his name, and Lazarus comes out of the grave. But wait a minute. That's a beautiful picture of our salvation. You see, God has called you and I from death to life. But when Lazarus came out of the grave, what condition was he in? You remember? He still had the grave clothes on, right? Now, grave clothes, that doesn't mean much to me and you because we're usually buried in a nice suit or nice dress. But in those days, they would wrap them in cloth. It's kind of like a mummy. Put a face cloth over. So here comes Lazarus, and he comes out of the grave hopping and doing whatever, however he's getting out because he's all wrapped up. That is a picture of your life and my life even once we come to know Christ. Once we come to know Christ, we have life, but we still have those stinking grave clothes of sin on us. Now, what did Jesus say to the crowd who was there? Look at the text. I'll let you cheat. You can look down. What does he say? Turn him loose. Loose him. Take those clothes off of him. Here's the thing. Lazarus had life, but he couldn't get out of the rotten, stinking grave clothes by himself. He had to have help. And so that's what's going on here. That's a picture of your life and my life. At the sound of Jesus' command, Lazarus came stumbling out of the tomb and hopping. He probably even fell down a time or two. Has that ever happened to you spiritually? God called you to life and things are going okay and you're making it somehow and then you fall flat on your face. But now Jesus says to loose him. As one preacher said, Lazarus was saved, but he still stunk. He was rescued, but he reeked with the smell of death. He had life, but he was not yet liberated. As Paul is writing to the Colossians over in Colossians 3, he says to you and I, we're in the same predicament as Lazarus. We're saved, we've been rescued, but we still reek of sin. We have new life, but we've not been liberated from the sin that still binds us. And so Lazarus' story and Paul's words to the Colossians show the importance of what I'm calling an essential exchange. Here's what I mean. There's a time in your life and my life, not just at salvation, but for some of us on a daily basis, maybe even more frequently than that, that we must put off the old life and put on the new life. And by the way, it's not either or, it's both and. You see, if we just put off the old life, what happens? Yeah, you got it. Nothing. And nothing really happens. We can do away with some old habits, but if we don't pick up some new habits, so we can do away with the old way of life, but if we don't pick up and put on a new way of life, what good is it? As a matter of fact, there's another story in the New Testament. We won't look there, but Jesus and the disciples are driving out a demon, and the demon is driven out, and they talk about sweeping the house. You remember the story? And it says that they can sweep the house clean, but if something doesn't come in and fill that person, then the demons come back and it's seven times worse than it was before. Pastor, why are you saying all this? Because a lot of us have put off the old, but we don't know how to put on the new. We understand what it is in a new year to do things differently, and I'm going to be better, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. Hey, great and wonderful. But if we don't pick up the new, if we don't put on the new, then we're going to be in big trouble. Salvation is something that is active and current. I can't rely on a decision that I made 30 years ago, over 30 years ago now, to know that I'm a Christian. I have to know that I have a relationship with Christ today. Not a one-time process, but something that we must undertake many times over. Now, back in Colossians chapter 3, I promised you we'd get back to the text. I want you to look at verse 1 for just a second. If then you've been raised with Christ, and you see it again in verse 3, with Christ, we can only do it in Christ. We can only do it with Christ. In our own strength, we're as powerless as Lazarus. We can't give ourselves life and we can't free ourselves from sin. Through Christ, we must put off the old and put on the new. This essentialist change that must happen if we're going to kill the sin in our lives. Now, verses 9 through 14, let's look closely there. Verses 9 and 10 tell us that we have put off our old self and put on our new self. And I know you didn't come today for a Greek lesson, but I want you to see the significance of this. Look at verse 9 with me. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self and put on the new self. That's past tense, right? That means it happened in the past. You've done this. When did that happen for you? Same time it happened for me at the point of salvation. Now, not same day, not same hour, not same circumstances. But when you came to know Christ, that happened. It is in the past. But, look at verse 12. In verse 12, he says, put on the new. All right? We move from something we have done to a command that's present tense. What does that mean? You see, salvation is both a point in life and a process. It's a command that we're given to do something now. Salvation is an event and a process. At the moment of salvation, I put off Adam and I put on Christ. You did the same. But, you see, there's an everyday occurrence that must happen. There must be the activity of change in your life today. Now, some of you here will say, Pastor, does that mean you can't be backslidden as a Christian? Yeah, absolutely it means you can be backslidden as a Christian. That happens, does it not? There are times in my life when sin gets in the way and I'm not as close to Christ as I once was. That happens. But when that happens, what happens inside me if I truly know Christ? The Holy Spirit of God brings that conviction of sin into my life. And He urges me to put on the new. Some of you looking at me funny. I want you to understand this. It's an everyday process. How often do you get dressed? Hopefully every day. And the same is true in our life with Christ. Every day we need to get up and I need to be reminded of who I am in Christ. And what is for me in Christ. So, as we talk about this essentialist change, I want us to see how Colossians chapter 3 fits together. There's really three or four sermons here, and I'm not going to try to give you three or four sermons in the next 15 minutes, but I want to summarize those for you, and I want you to try to see this. Paul says that we're positioned in Christ and we have this secure, inseparable union with Christ if we know Him through salvation. We fully identify with His life. We're called to put to death sin in our lives. And we can do this because our old self has been laid aside and our new position is in Christ. We now have the power to walk in Christ. So, quickly, let's just talk about this. Number one, let's put off the old. Put off the old. And what is he talking about there as we put off the old? He's talking about the wretchedness of sin. Go ahead, Colby, because I have no control up here. We have to destroy those old earthly urges, and we have to discard the ugly behaviors of the past. Now, look back up in verses 5 through 8 of Colossians 3. Do you see anything there worth holding on to? Look at that list that Paul gives us there. Put to death what's earthly: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry, wrath, anger, malice, slander, obscene talk. Why? Is there anything worth holding on to there? Then why do we struggle with them so much? Why is it that sin has such a hold in our lives sometimes? Look at verse 8. In verse 8, he tells us that these are the consequences. I'm sorry, in verse 6, he says these are the consequences. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. It didn't get much plainer than that, does it? Yet we still struggle and we still hang on to sometimes. There's a statement that was made. Nobody really knows who made it first. Everybody's claimed ownership of it. But here's the statement. I believe it rings true. You and I will never change until the pain of staying the same grows greater than the pain of change. You and I will never change until the pain of staying the same grows greater than the pain of change. That's true for us as believers, is it not? Are there some things this morning, spiritually, that need to change in your life? You'll never change until the pain of staying the same grows greater than the pain of change. This change involves a conscious decision that you have to make, and then a continual process. I told you before you didn't come for a Greek lesson, but let me just tell you something here, and maybe it'll help you. If you underline in your Bible, you might want to underline these words, put off and put on. They're in the middle voice in the text, and that probably doesn't ring any bells or do anything for you, but let me see if I can explain it to you this way. An active voice is something you do. All right? A passive voice is something that's done to you. So there are times in the Bible when the Bible uses an active voice and it says, do this. You do this. And then there are times in the Bible when it uses a passive voice and it says that God, through Christ, has done this to you. All right? Clear? Active voice, passive voice. These commands are in the middle voice. Guess what that means? Just what it says. It's in the middle. It means that you and God cooperate together to do this. So when Paul says, put off the old, how am I going to do that? Man, I'm going to watch one of these commercials. I'm going to join that gym. There is no spiritual gym like that. It's not something you're going to do by yourself. But it's also not something that God's going to do and you have no part in. It's not going to be, well, I'm just going to sit here and God's going to change me. We work together with Him in the process. That makes sense. You see, here's the problem I think some of us run into as Christians. Some of us think that God ought to just thump us on the head and make us different. It's not that simple. He does give us different desires, but what must we do with those desires? It's a test. I'm seeing if you're listening. We have to act on them, do we not? There has to be a conscious decision that I'm going to do what God's Word says do. He brings conviction. I make the decision to do it, but get this. Then He gives me, through His Holy Spirit, the power to do it. That's a pretty cool process, isn't it? God calls you to do it. You decide, yes, God, I'm going to be obedient to you. I'm going to follow through with that. And then He gives you the power to do what you said you were going to do. That's a win-win. Yet so many of us are struggling in our walk with Christ because we don't get it. Think back to Lazarus for just a second. When he came out of that tomb, he's wrapped up in those grave clothes, right? He's hopping, he's jumping, he's getting out however he can. Somebody had to help him begin to get those grave clothes off. But what do you think he did when they started tearing those things off? You think he just stood there like a statue and just said, okay, when y'all unwrap me, I'll be fine. Remember, the dude's been dead for 4 days. He just came to life and he's wrapped up tight as a mummy. When they started taking those grave clothes off, I just believe in my sanctified imagination that he started shaking and jumping and ripping all he could. That's our life with Christ. When the grave clothes start to come off, we don't just stand there like statues and say, okay, God, when you're done, let me know. We participate with Him. When those things begin to fall, man, we start scratching and clawing and gnawing, doing what we can to participate with God to get rid of that junk in our lives. And He gives us the power to do it. How cool is that? What we have to put off the old. We can't just sit back and wait for God to change us. Today, with God's help, some of us in this room need to put off our old selves. We need to allow the salvation that God brought to our lives to really change us, to get rid of the double standards in our life, and to live for Christ. God detests sin. All sin stinks, and God wants you to get rid of that sin in your life, and He wants me to get rid of the sin in my life. And if we'll participate with Him, we can put off the old. But hang on, that's only part of the command. The rest of the command says to put on the new. Put on the new. The wardrobe of the saints. And here Paul lists for us 7 characteristics that we're all to put on to replace those old filthy clothes. I want you to notice that these aren't just qualities that we create for ourselves. These qualities are a description of Christ. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 14, the Bible says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. The NIV says it this way, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to dress like Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about wearing around a robe and sandals and looking all weird. I'm talking about we have to put on the qualities of God. Verse 12 identifies us as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. There was nothing attractive in us that caused God to choose us. He chose us because of His grace. And just as God chose us by His grace, He will also clothe us by His grace. Now, we've put off the old. What does putting on the new look like? Well, I'm glad you asked. Quickly, there's 7 things here that 7 character qualities. Let's look at them real fast. Number 1, compassion. The Bible says that we are to put on compassionate hearts. What does it mean to have compassion? You know? Literal translation. To feel with someone. Doesn't mean you feel sorry for them. Doesn't mean you say, oh, bless your heart. It means that God, by His supernatural power, gives us the power to feel what that person is feeling. The Bible says that Jesus saw the crowds and He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. You know what that means? It means that He was able to feel the lostness that they were feeling. You say, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. in Christ, through Christ. We can feel what they're feeling, and we can hurt with them. The opposite of compassion is what? Not hate. Hate means that you've thought enough about somebody to form an opinion. The opposite of hate is hard-heartedness, apathy. I just really don't care. Boy, welcome to America these days, where nobody cares about anybody else. But the Bible says that you and I are to clothe ourselves with compassionate hearts. And then it goes on. He says we're to have kindness. Human personality is not kind. You know that, right? It's supernatural. Kindness is supernatural. Human personality will often descend into harshness, being harsh with each other. It's what comes naturally from our old nature. I told you several times this morning, you didn't come from a Greek lesson, and here I am giving one. You see that word kindness in the text? Here's a little translation of it. Lose its harshness. Literal translation. So here's what it's saying. If you and I are going to put off the old self, and in Christ we're going to put on the new self, then we're going to lose the harshness of our personality. We're going to put on Christ. Can you agree with me that that's something much needed in 2017? Just put off the harshness. Lose the harshness. By the way, that harshness, that's the same word that we translate over in Matthew when Jesus said, my yoke is easy. That word easy and that word kindness are the same. It means to lose the harshness. To lose the harshness of it. And number three, humility. The Bible teaches us that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. What is humility? Okay, let me tell you what humility is not. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. You know people like that? Oh, I just ain't no good. Ain't much to me. That's not humility. Maybe stupidity, but it's not humility. Well, what does being humble mean? It doesn't mean to think less of yourself. It means to not think of yourself at all. It means to put others first. As I was studying the text this week, God just every time one of these would come up, say, God, you know, that's what we need in 2017. And God said, yeah, it's easy to say it. That's what you need in 2017. Quit thinking so much about yourself and put others first. I can't do that on my own. I can only do that in Christ. Number four, meekness. Meekness is not weakness. To be meek doesn't mean that you're a doormat. Doesn't mean you're beat down all your life. Your pastor's probably shared this with you, but the word meekness in the Bible means to have strength under control. Strength under control. It means you're really strong, you just know how to control it. It's a phrase that was used when people would break a horse, a wild stallion. They'd take a wild stallion with all that strength and all that power, and they would break him where you could put a bit in his mouth. And some of you who've been around horses, you know. What happens when you break a horse when you can put a bit in his mouth? Well, you can pull the reins this way, and which way does he go? He goes that way. You pull the reins this way, he goes this way. Listen, he didn't lose any of his strengths. You just taught him how to control it. Same is true for you and me in Christ. We don't lose the strength of who we are. God just teaches us how to control it. Number five. I don't even like this one. Patience. The word patience used here doesn't mean to wait for something. A better word would be the old English word long-suffering. It's the opposite of short-tempered. It's the opposite of flying off the handle. Had a friend who, he'd fly off the handle a pretty good bit. Here's what he'd always say. Later on, he would come back and he'd apologize. He'd say this, "You know what? That's just who I am." No. Look at the text. In Christ, that's not who you are. My temper sometimes is way too short. I get angry. Isn't it easy to get angry faster with the ones you love the most too? And what I need to be is long-suffering. I need to put off the old and I need to put on the new. Number six, forgiveness. It says bearing with one another. If one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. Have you ever experienced the forgiveness of God? Have you experienced the forgiveness of God? Then why is it so hard to show that forgiveness to others? Well, there's one last word, and it's not on the screen here. Maybe it is. Number seven is love. Look at what he says. Above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. It's possible to have some of the others, but not have love. But listen, it's not possible to have love and not have every one of them. Look at what Paul says. There's such wisdom here. But most of all, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect harmony. Think about that. Look at that list. We could just write love up there and cover every one of those, could we not? You know what? The Bible's smarter than you and I. 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter. Every single one of these is in there. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not hold harshness against someone. Doesn't keep a record of wrongs. You could just work down the list. And love covers every single one of them. Ever noticed that what you wear often determines how you behave? Let me think about it. Police officers are just regular folks, aren't they? But when they put on that uniform, contrary to what some believe, when they put on that uniform, there's an authority that goes with that, is there not? People in the military, same thing, just regular folks. But when they put on that military uniform, it commands respect. But guess what? Police officers and guys and ladies in the military, they're taught how to act because they represent that uniform, aren't they? A nurse. You see somebody who has on scrubs or a nurse's uniform. They could be at Walmart. What do you think about that person immediately? They're compassionate. They're caring. It's just something about what they're wearing just makes a difference in who they are. Look at the text one more time. It says to put off the old and to put on the new, to clothe yourself as Christ. God's not this old suit, not the clothes you're wearing this morning, but the spiritual clothes that you and I have in Christ should determine how we live. It must determine how we act. There's a saying that came around several years ago and has stuck with me for years and years and years now, and here it is. I'm going to close with this. Belief determines behavior. Belief determines behavior. I can tell you, if I followed you around for 24 hours, if you followed me around for 24 hours, you could tell the same about me. I can tell you exactly what you believe about God by how you behave. Because what you believe determines how you behave. 2017, a great time to put off the old and to put on the new. A great time to say, this is who I am in Christ. And this, with His help, is how I'm going to live. Heads bowed, eyes closed. As we come to a time of commitment this morning, maybe it's time for you to make a commitment to the Lord Jesus. Maybe you're in this room and you've never fully trusted Christ as Lord and Savior of your life. Why not today? Why not today? Exchange the sinfulness of your life for the holiness of Christ. We sometimes make it difficult, but it's really simple. There's no magic prayer. You just say, God, I know I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. And I know Jesus Christ died on the cross to save me from my sin. I now accept Him as the boss of my life, my Lord, my Savior. And I give Him my whole life. Others of you in the room, maybe you've known Christ for a long time, but you're just not putting off the old and putting on the new quite like you should. Just a moment, I'm going to pray. I'm going to open this altar. Maybe you just need to come and spend a few minutes here. You say, Pastor, I don't have to come up front to do that. You're right, you don't. Nothing magic about walking down this little aisle. Nothing to that. Coming up front doesn't show God whether you're serious or not. It shows you whether you're serious or not about following Christ. Father God, in the strong name of Jesus, we thank You for this time. Thank You for some time to open Your Word. God, we claim the promise that Your Word never returns void. We ask You, Spirit of God, to honor Your Word right now as the Holy Spirit comes and convicts us and encourages us to put off the old and put on the new. Help us in Jesus' great name. Amen. As Chad comes to lead us, I'm going to ask you if you would to stand. Let's sing a hymn of commitment together. If you don't know Christ, why not today? If you need to come spend some time at the altar, please do so.